Welcome to the Secret Diary of a Startup, where we embark on the remarkable journey of Perth mum of five, yes, five, an occupational therapist determined to revolutionise occupational therapy assessment wait times. I'm your host, Caroline Lockery, and today we uncover the incredible story of resilience, innovation, and the genesis of OT Me. Steph, our Perth mum, faces the daunting task of balancing family life with a demanding career while striving to make a profound difference in the lives of children awaiting occupational therapy assessments. So, plug in your headphones and prepare to be swept away by Steph's unwavering dedication, relentless determination, and infectious humour as we delve into her thrilling adventure through entrepreneurship, parenthood, and the relentless pursuit of positive change. Welcome to the Secret Diary of a Startup. Steph, hi, welcome back. Episode 2 of the Secret Diary of a Startup podcast.
Yeah.
How are you going? How's your week?
Yeah, it's been a bit busy. Busy but not busy, but always busy with kids. Just so many kid things.
I know.
Soccer's gone back. Training twice a week for one kid, and then the other one's got training twice a week, and then they've got cubs and scouts and tennis and karate. And I'm sure I've missed some kind of extracurricular.
And now there's school holidays upon us.
Thank God.
Yes. Every parent's dream.
I know.
Yeah. Every working parent's dream.
And then by day three, everyone's ready for them to go back to school. Already. And it's an 11-week term next term.
Well, that's good.
What was it this term?
Eight and a half. So our weekly check-in.
Yes.
Let's hear it, Steph. Okay. Hours of sleep.
Well, last night and the night before, I think I averaged about four.
Oh, it's a bit of a dip since last week.
Couldn't sleep properly this week. Just too much going on in my brain. It's too much. Not too much, but just juggling a lot of stuff this week. Kids, my job, report writing, and my startup. And I just realized I really needed to be organized with the startup thing. I was getting a bit overwhelmed with the chaos of it all. So I love a list. Harvey used to call me Miss Clipboard.
Well, you know, it helps. And I know for a lot of people, once you start to actually physically check that off, it really lightens the mental load and gives more motivation to keep going and pushing through that list.
Get things sorted, because the way my brain works is if I've got things down on paper,
you can relax.
It's not in my head anymore.
And you can relax.
Yeah.
All right. Kid meltdowns. How have the children done this?
It's a daily occurrence, one of them every morning. He's not a morning person. Plus he has ADHD, so he just, So he at least once a day, that lasts probably on and off for half an hour, and then he's like, oh, I can face the day.
Released.
And then, my toddler had a meltdown over eating a carrot.
As you do.
Well, he wanted a bowl of charge, which is like cereal.
Okay.
And I was like, no, you need to eat your carrot. And I stuck to my guns. 45 minutes later, he's like, I eat my carrot.
Yeah.
You happy now? I'm like, I am super happy. He goes, me have charge? Yeah, you have charge. He's a bit like Yoda. He speaks like Yoda.
Oh, little wins. That was probably one of them.
Oh, eating a carrot.
I mean, that wasn't little though, right? Huge, because that was a 45-minute, endurance session.
Yeah. But we got there. And he ate another carrot yesterday for Harvey. Harvey didn't have to do any work. So you're welcome, Harvey. I did all the hard work today.
That's right, you prepped him.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear this.
Getting more networking, linked up with another software guy, local software guy. So getting another quote for that. So that was a little win as well.
Fabulous.
Yes. Affordable too.
We like another win. Affordable. Yes, absolutely. I'm interested to hear this one, the current obsession. Last week it was Taylor Swift, but I feel like everybody's was Taylor Swift. So this one I feel is quite unique.
It's called Running Springs, and it's foaling season. So they have baby horses. So I'm very invested in her mares, brood mares, and baby horses. And that's just what I look at on TikTok is baby horses. And now I want one. I want a horse and a baby horse that I can love on and snuggle with, and they boop you. And That's my current obsession, which isn't going anywhere. So that's how I kind of decompress when I come home. It's just watching. I don't know if that's normal or not.
Pony videos.
Pony.
Well, people watch cat videos and things, you know, and yeah, so true. It's different animal.
I love horses.
They are a good animal. That's my animal. I love horses. I'm the year of the horse.
Are you?
I am.
I think I'm the year of the pig.
Are you? All right. Units of alcohol consumed.
Oh, okay, so I haven't. So Saturday, last Saturday, we went to a birthday party in the Swan Valley. And about, yeah. I probably had about 2.5 pints and a glass of wine.
That's not too bad.
It was over a whole afternoon and an evening.
Oh, well, that's, I think that's pretty controlled myself. Yeah, but yeah.
So okay, not too bad. It's a Friday, so my husband's away and I'm
like, so is mine. Uh-oh. Yeah. Let's get into it. So, folks, this episode, we're looking at the vision, defining the vision of OTME. So, Steph, tell me, how did you come up with a vision and mission for OTME? And did it just kind of pop into your head one day, or was it more of a gradual process that evolved over time?
So I think I touched on this in the first episode, is I had an idea about 5-6 years ago that I wanted to digitalize resources, but didn't do anything with it because in my head it was a huge task, and it has been a huge task and is ongoing. So it evolved from just being digitalized resources to actually being a platform that children could use independently. My biggest thing is for parents who are time pressed, who potentially are just really under pressure with their children with multiple needs. One child, multiple needs is a lot. When you've got multiple children, multiple needs, it becomes a lot and overwhelming. So the vision changed to actually produce something that would benefit parents, knowing that their child was engaging in activities and they didn't have that guilt of I don't have enough time, but also that children actually wanted to engage and wanted to have fun, and the activities were fun. The activities weren't like just a necessity. They were actually, kids were like, oh, I actually want to engage and want to do. So what I want to produce long term is probably slightly different to what my MVP, my minimal viable product, will be. But then the long term vision is something that a child wants to, you know, they come home and like, I want to play OTME. Mm. And it's play. It's not, I need to do it. It's I want to engage in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like to me, you know, it started off sort of almost like a resource depository.
Yes.
To engagement. Yep. Is your mission.
Yep.
So engagement with the children, engagement with the parents. Yep. 100%.
And also because of that need, the problem was there's not enough OTs to go around. There's huge wait lists and it's not getting any, those wait lists aren't getting any smaller. They're getting bigger. The gap is growing for kids. Mm-hmm. So that also evolved because the problem to start with was we don't have digitalized resources that we can send to people so they don't lose them and so their kids can actually do them. It's kind of evolved into actually, well, the problem is much bigger than that. The problem is that there isn't OTs to go around. Their kids, their skill development is, not under pressure, but they're... So in terms of not enough OTs, that's a nationwide problem, not just WA as well. So I guess the vision initially was to try and help, you know, the local parents that I knew, and then it's kind of grown into actually this is a national problem, and potentially, the reach then goes over to eastern states and Northern Territory and all that kind of stuff. So and South Australia, because they don't have enough OTs either. Like, we're heavily in demand, but I think, like I said before in the previous episode, there's only like 27,600 registered OTs, and 50% of those only work in private practice, and some of them just work with adults. So
yeah, they're not doing paid.
No, and even when you come out of uni, if you haven't had a paediatric placement, you don't know what you're doing. You need training, and you need to be taken under someone's wing who's got experience, because they're not just mini adults. Their needs are very different, and how you engage with them therapeutically is very different as well.
Yeah.
We're getting more OTs through the universities and graduating and everything, they're not going to be experts in their field you wouldn't expect that for at least probably 18 months, 2 years, and not even an expert, but at least, you know, confident, know what they're doing. And unfortunately, there's just not enough companies out there that are investing in, I guess, new graduates or people who haven't worked in PEDS before. And they're coming on board. And what I'm hearing more and more, and this isn't the new graduates' fault or an OT that hasn't had experience before, is that they're not getting training. They're just getting basically dumped in the deep end.
Thrown into it.
And go,
off you go. Which serves nobody.
Absolutely nobody. And what it ends up doing is wasting people's money. The clinician then feels really despondent and goes, I don't know if I want to stay in this clinical area because, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not getting the support. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of companies that do offer that support. But there are a lot of companies that don't. You can make all the recommendations in the world, but if you can't engage that child to then engage in therapeutic activities outside of your sessions with them, it's a bit of a moot point even going, because you can only do so much once a week, once a fortnight, depending on how much that parent can afford in private practice. In the public system, they will see you, assess you, send you off for 6 weeks and say, I'll review you in 6 weeks. So again, if you don't have accessibility, I suppose, to someone who A, knows what they're doing, and B, can, you know, complex, succinct plan for you to follow, because parents aren't therapists, you know, and nor should you be a therapist. However, you are expected to complete these activities with your children. So that's how it's changed, because actually there's a huge need out there. And there's a need for good quality therapeutic interventions that are tailored to these children's individual and unique needs.
Yeah, instead of what I was just saying, there's nobody really wins when you have unqualified, inexperienced therapists.
No.
In fact, I could imagine it would even maybe set you back, or set the child back in a way.
Well, say if you're in the NDIS, it uses funds that you won't get back, so you then have to go and find someone else to see, but your funds have already been depleted by X amount. Parents either have to pay for extra sessions, or they just have to suck it up and go, okay, well, this is what we've got left in our budget. Can you help? And I've had a couple of kids come through, and I really respect other clinicians, and this is not a dig to anyone else, but you have to have training in any area that you go into. You need to be competent, and that's up to your seniors or your manager or whoever. That's their responsibility to get you up to that level. And unfortunately, it's just not happening in every private practice, which is a shame.
Definitely.
Because we're going to lose people that could potentially be excellent pediatric clinicians.
That's right. Yeah.
But then they're so put off because they're not getting the support that they need, or the training that they need. So it's like too hard basket.
Yeah, everybody's losing.
Yeah.
And with, you know, vision of OTME, but also the broader mission of multi-coached, like aligning that vision, that sounds like quite a task. How did you manage to ensure everything lines up?
So with multi-coached is that's my overall company. So OTME is kind of just a product. My overall vision is that I want MultiCoach to be to provide education for allied health professionals. I want it to be affordable, accessible. It'll be online. They can do it anytime. And it's far less expensive than what's currently out there for certain things. I also want it to be an educational parent hub as well. So it's like a one-stop shop. Because parents that I've spoken to have said that, you know, like I was speaking to guy on the admission team, and he's like, his wife, you know, their child, I can't remember what was going on with them, but she was just surfing the internet to try and get
information and resources,
right? Mm-hmm. So it's taking forever, and you're not quite sure actually what you're reading is. Is it research-based? Is it evidence-based? Is it actually going to help your child? Is it just someone's, I tried this and this worked kind of thing? And that has its place, definitely. But my overall vision is I want it to be like an education hub for parents to go to. They can literally look anything up and it will spit something out that will basically give them some, and even if it's signposts or gatekeeps to somewhere else for them to find out.
Mm-hmm.
So my aim is for the overall company to be very evidence-based. So whatever's on there is evidence-based practice, is informative and research-based. At the moment, I need to concentrate on one thing, and that's OTME. So I have written some CPD courses for allied health professionals, but I've scaled back for the moment and just focusing all on one product, because eventually I want that to be kind of available as well,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one of me, and yes. I am definitely at risk of burnout if I keep trying to do everything at once. And I really just want to concentrate on OTME at the moment, because that's the problem that needs solving the most. Yes. So yes, it is broad, and I know where I want it and what I want it to look like eventually, but I need to build a team to help me then build that vision. And at the moment it's just me. Mm-hmm. So I need to just solely focus on one thing, and that's OTME.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So you sort of touched on it just now, but let's get really specific about mm-hmm. this then. So what are some of the goals or milestones that really embody your vision, long-term vision for OTME?
Okay. I really want to bridge that gap of health inequality, because at the moment there is a huge inequality in health services across not just our state but across Australia, like who can access what, whether that's because of the current cost of living crisis, people can barely afford to pay their rent and feed their children, is that are going to really enhance their well-being and put their, I guess, their best foot forward in terms of developing these skills, so they do become happy, well-rounded individuals and independent in most of the facets of their life.
And how are you going to measure that? Like, what does it look like? What does the success look like of bridging that gap? Because that's quite...
it's a huge, huge. Yeah. So what I would really like is to potentially, once this is out there, is that maybe, you know, for example, WA Health license it and actually can then prescribe it for the kids that are on those wait lists. They can go, look, we can fit you fantastic. In 18 months' time. However,
in the interim,
we will pay for this subscription for a year or 6 months or however, so you can access things at home in between times. So when they do eventually get assessed by that OT, not only are you helping them because they have got less work to do with that child and they can potentially
then help other children as
well. They can then get them through quicker, get them off the books quicker. So it's going to take more than just me to bridge that gap. I may provide a like the service, the product itself, but it's going to take someone like WA Health, maybe the private hospitals, maybe private practices to go, hang on a second, if we license this, people coming through on our wait lists can then access this. You know, private practices might, you know, I might end up doing like affiliate stuff. So they, if they recommend it, not only are they helping bridge that gap as well, they're also being reimbursed for recommending a product, right?
Yeah.
So it does them a favour. It also does their children a favour that are on those wait lists. And eventually when they do come through, again, it speeds up that process of being able to see a child, work with them, because actually already they know about fine and gross motor skills. They know about foundational skills. They know about behavioural stuff. So you don't have to spend weeks and weeks and weeks building on that because they've already done it.
Yeah.
You can then jump headfirst in and go, okay, let's assess you. Let's see where you're at. And they're already that further ahead.
Yeah.
So it's going to take more than just me. It's going to take other clinicians.
And I suppose measuring, I guess, the success of that would come through the numbers of subscriptions and memberships.
Feedback, testimonials, you know, and feedback from children themselves. So I do work in pediatrics again now, and I am testing it on the children, which I'll go into a bit more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically you need the feedback from the users, and the users are going to, like the children, they're the consumers, right? Mum and dad and carers and whatever, they're the customers. So they're the ones paying, but the actual consumers are the children. So they're the ones that I need to, like it needs to be measured through them.
Yeah.
And how engaged they are. And yes, you want to hear back from parents. Oh, my child's made such a difference in a short space of time, or, you know, this was their goal and we've already hit that goal, or this milestone, that milestone. But at the end of the day, if children are engaging with this, that's a huge like measure for me, is that they actually want to engage in it.
And so you're talking about, you know, private practices, licensing at Department of Health or WA Health, schools.
Yeah.
You know, as we mentioned last episode about reading eggs and athletics, you know, this could be fantastic to get out through the schools.
100%. And schools, look, they're picking up a lot more on early stuff, rightly or wrongly. I think in some cases it's, great. We've picked up early intervention. I have some, like I think I've discussed this before, I have seen children come through that the scale of normal is huge, right? Yeah. So these children will catch up. They don't necessarily need to be pushed to catch up.
Mm.
And I think the expectations of little children needs to change, especially in schools, from what they can do.
Mm.
You know, from pre-primary, the transition to year one is almost non-existent, in my opinion, and my experience. And that needs to change, because especially with boys develop a little bit differently to girls in terms of being able to sit still, not sensory seek. Every child does it, right?
Yes.
It's part of a developmental milestone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just also having that, you know, I was just listening to Jen Muir. I'm listening to little kids, big feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm loving that book. But just, you know, she's talking about, you know, kids with sensory.
Like aversions or sensory issues or sensory seeking.
Yes. And, you know, but being allowed, having that kind of space in the classroom to be able to wiggle on your seat if that's what's going to be regulating your body.
100%. Like, I'll give you an example.
And for that to be known by all the educators.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's even educating the educators a little bit further, a little bit more.
And the thing is, you kind of, I don't want to say you have to be careful, but teachers are overwhelmed anyway, right? Yeah, they have so much on their plates. A lot of the newer teachers coming through, this is a lot more, I guess, not just talked about, but within their university degrees and stuff. So things are evolving. They're a lot more aware of occupational therapists, what we do, physiotherapy, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas older school teachers, unless they've done CPD on it, you know, and my kids have had old school teachers where it's, you need to sit still, you need to be quiet, and you need to listen, and you need to learn by rote, rah, 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 rah.
Mm.
And it's like, that works for some children. Like, I've got one child who was that child, right? And I've got other children that just were literally climbing the walls because they were sensory seeking. And until you get that sensory input, a child is not going to concentrate.
No.
And it's setting up your classroom for success. And it is really difficult, and teachers have a really difficult task because you've got, 25 to 30 kids in the classroom with all very different needs?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So this potentially could be a little tool in the teacher's toolbox.
Toolkit,
To kind of go, okay, we're going to do this before we do a sit-down task. Come on, we'll put it all on the whites, you know, the whiteboard, the interactive whiteboard. They can watch some of the videos. They can, you know,
do some of the movements. Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's a great idea.
And it gives that teacher that little time to kind of, kids are concentrating, it makes them work together. There's so many things that could be done with what I'm trying to achieve. So, yes, I definitely think schools could benefit. What that will look like in the long term, I don't know right now. But I think with this, it's evolving. And again, I need to make sure that I'm solving someone's problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And your values and beliefs obviously have played a significant role in shaping OTME and multi-coached. Can you share how they've influenced the vision you set out for both ventures?
So multi-coached kind of, I needed a company name, and I needed kind of this all happened very quickly, me to where I am now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I didn't have a company. I needed a company by the end of week one for Ignition. So
you did mention that you do all your best work.
I do. 100% do. Like, I'm amazing in a crisis, right? So this is kind of crisis situation. Not, you know, no one's going to die crisis, but it's like, you need this, you need this, you need this. So it's like, bam, bam, bam. Multi-coached, I kind of came up with the name multi-coached. That was taken. I added an ED on the end. So it's multi-coached. And I wanted it to, because I wanted it kind of represent, there's lots of facets to what the company can eventually do. So it's like that multi, and I wanted coaching. I think the theory behind coaching is great, right? So you're empowering people. So it's not, I'm not necessarily teaching you, I'm coaching you.
Mm.
And I kind of liked the, I like that kind of, I want it to, yeah, so the vision is like you're going to be coached to empower you.
Yeah, so you're not having, you're not doing direct sort of teaching, I'm but not you're telling sitting, you you're sitting how to do by, it. You're sitting next yeah, to, yeah, yeah, you yeah. are walking alongside them.
And you're
learning
and you're problem solving.
And coaching them yeah. together. So, you know, the whole thing together.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of where that came from. But my actual, I guess my values and beliefs are that, you know, every child deserves access to healthcare. We're in a first world country. We have an amazing healthcare system when it works. We have amazing clinicians when they're not under the pump.
Mm.
Every child deserves a good start in life, right? Life's bloody hard as it is, right? So if you're already, you know, on the back foot when you're like five, it's like, oh, okay, so we've got to not only just play catch up, I've got to do the extra stuff as well. And then you leave it a year, leave it another year because either they can't get in, you end up just further and further behind, and that just affects you, not just in the area that you're behind in, but if you look at a person and a child holistically, like the whole person, mm. it affects everything, right? Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
And I think the biggest thing is when you get to teenage years is mental health. So you may have some physical things going on when you're younger, like your gross motor, you might not be, you know, most developed in that area or fine motor skills, etc. But as you get older, you start realizing you're a bit behind. You start feeling not great about
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, the mental impact the is mental massive is and huge. That affects all your relationships and your connections, yeah. not just within your family, but your friendship circle.
100%.
And, yeah,
and like behaviors and how, you know, for example, ADHD. I have ADHD. My son has ADHD. My daughter has ADHD. And the way that they behave and their emotional dysregulation affects the whole family, right? You know, trying to take children out when you know there's going to be at least one mega meltdown, right? And you get that in autism as well. Kids have meltdowns, right? But you know, so, you know, you end up not going out. So it doesn't just affect the mental health of your child because they know you're not going out because they know that other families go out together. Why don't we go out together? And it's like, well, I can't say because it's because of you. Mm. We're not going out because actually the whole family doesn't enjoy it, you know? And like, so parents need empowering as well to be able to deal with the behaviors in a way that benefits the child and benefits them, because there's always a reason behind behavior. There is always a need that's being unmet.
Mm-hmm.
If you can meet that need without the detriment to your other children or to yourself, then you need to find out what that need is, because as soon as you meet that need, most children, it's like popping a balloon. They kind of just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
If you can't start, so eventually, you know, a child who constantly, they then feel shameful, like as they get older, because they're like, I just get told off all the time. Mm. What's wrong with me? So your mental health as a teenager, and especially in boys who don't necessarily, I don't know, get brought up to share their feelings, right? People are getting better at doing that, but they're the ones that, you know, like teen suicide, right? It's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse, especially in young men. Like my daughter's, a friend, he committed suicide last year. Like he was 17. It's like, we need to do better, right? We need to do better to prevent this from happening.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, I didn't know him. I don't know the ins and outs of what led up to that. All I know is that that was 100% preventable. And if we can get kids when they're younger and actually go, right, let's look after your mental health, because that is so important, as well as your physical health,
yeah,
and the mental health of your parents, because they've got a hard job, right? Even children that don't have chronic conditions, throw in the chronic condition as well.
Mm.
It's huge. And then you, as a parent, you're expected to go to work. You're expected to, you know, you've got all these other, there's just so much pressure. So I just want children to be able to be children. I want children to enjoy their childhood.
Yeah.
And then when they get to teenage years, they can go, okay, I actually, you know, I can do this.
I'm secure enough in myself.
In myself, yeah.
That resilience, yeah. And I think it's that, you know, going off on a tangent too much. Oh, it's not really a tangent, but
I know
off the
topic.
Question topic. you know, again, this book that I'm listening to, it's really when they're younger is, you know, naming those emotions, helping them process it by co-regulating with them. So they're not emotionally dysfunctional, which, you know, I'll put out like our generation, like, you know, our parents, they did the best they could. But, you know, we're all learning now in our 40s. Sort of readdressing all of those kind of issues that we have from childhood. So I think it's super important to really, you know, start with your children when they're young and show them, role model, teach them, connect with them, be with them, and that these feelings and emotions are okay, and that's they're just feeling, they're just emotions. It doesn't define you, and it's about working through it and processing it, so then we're not having kids that are full of shame.
And wondering why they're different, and actually, you know, embracing their difference and embracing their uniqueness and being a good citizen and being a good person. And just, you know, I think there's so much pressure on kids as it is, and teenagers, like, you know, we could go off on a tangent, but I guess I just want kids to have access, and what that access looks like, whether that's my online platform that they can access, you know, occupational therapy services, and maybe later down the track, other allied health services as well, depending on, you know, how this grows. That's my main vision, is I just want children to have the best start in life that they can, and empower parents to be able to do that and empower them. So that's kind of my vision.
That's a long,
winded roundabout way.
That's okay. It's fair share of challenges. Were there any moments where you had to tweak, adjust the vision as things progressed?
So the biggest challenge I've had thus far is financial challenges, because I'm what we call bootstrapping. So the money I spend on things is just out of my own pocket. So I've had to really scale back on what I want my MVP to look like. There are certain things that I can't compromise on, because then it won't be
what you need it to
what
be.
What I need it to
and
be.
What your division.
So the financial challenges, and just through networking, I've spoken to people who I guess where I have been where I am now or was, and they've given me some great advice. Like, I didn't even realise you can have a website, you can in essence cling wrap it and put it on the app stores, right? There's a bit of a process that's not as simple as that. But with what I thought I was going to produce was an app, the quote for not even what I needed was like $200,000. And I was like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, right? That's not lean design. That's definitely out of my realms of my $50 budget. I think the financial challenges, and also the challenges of finding people to understand my vision, because if you're not an allied health professional, you don't really know what an occupational therapist does unless your child or you have had.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, lots of people. I actually got asked yesterday, what's an OT?
People, people kind of think we're a bit like physio, and we're sort of, but different, quite vastly different. So if you don't understand, so that's the other thing as well, is actually networking with people that know healthcare, they understand what I'm trying to do, and they understand my profession. So that's probably been one of the biggest challenges. But I find that's a challenge being an OT anyway. No one knows what we do unless you've had a parent or yourself or
your child.
You've
had personal experience 100%, with it.
100%,
And what about, you know, a pivotal moment where the vision of OTME guided a major strategic or shift in a product-related decision? Like you mentioned before about the 200K, obviously, so that's
not going to
happen. That's a no-go.
New. So I guess a pivotal moment is, because I've started recording and doing the digital content, which I put together a video for one of my clients to do strength training and went through it with her. Now, if you want honest feedback, ask a child or a teenager, because they won't hold back.
No.
And she
was
like,
tell you how it is.
Yeah. And she was like, well, that went too quickly. that didn't go quick enough. I didn't like that bit. I loved that bit. So just that real life testing has made me go, oh, okay. So, you know, it's not just watching an exercise. You know, for example, like I have PhysiTrack or PhysiApp on my phone and I watch just a very simple video of someone doing an exercise. That's not going to cut it for a kid. Like kids don't, they're just like, oh, it's boring. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And so I've got to be really clever how I engage children, and it needs to be, you know, there might need to be a pause. Like they might need to be told, you need to pause the video now. Go get your glue, go get your scissors, go get your something or another. Mm-hmm. They need like proper kind of very constructive instructions. Yeah, like step by step. So it's definitely evolved from what I thought it was going to be to, and you'd think having five kids, I would have gone, oh yeah, it needs, and I kind of thought, oh, it needs to be a bit like, you know, the YouTube videos where they've got that really annoying music and they're just unwrapping, you know, it needs to be something visually really appealing, right?
Yeah.
But actually that's,
I was thinking dress up.
Yeah. But I know. Yeah. Just come out as a minion. I think that might be copyright infringement. it just needs to, like, I need to, when I'm putting it all together and editing it, it needs to be very child friendly and very explicit in its instruction of what they need to do, and not too quickly.
No.
It needs to be
lost.
Get lost in it. And it needs to be engaging, and mm-hmm. kids need to want to do it. So yeah, the honest feedback from children. My own kids are great at giving me honest feedback even when I don't want it. So yeah, if you want,
unsolicited,
don't ask the parents.
Feedback.
Yeah, unsolicited feedback. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it sounds like it's evolving a lot based obviously on experience, feedback, testing.
Yeah.
You know, as you go along. And so balancing the original vision, I guess, with that feedback sounds a little bit, well, not so much walking a tightrope, but you're really having to pivot sometimes pretty quickly, and maybe often in a direction that you hadn't envisioned. So how do you, I mean, I think I can answer this myself, but I want to ask you obviously, how do you manage to stay true to that vision while also being adaptable or agile, as
agile,
you say?
Yeah, so agile. So it's all about iteration. So you need to, you have to go into this very much what you think now is the solution, because you can validate the problem someone's got, right? So I know that there's the problem.
Mm.
Great, that's been validated. But is my solution going to fix that or at least help? Yes, it will, but it's probably going to need to pivot, and it's going to need to change, and it's actually going to need to suit the needs of the people using it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really flexible. And I don't want to produce something that I'm wasting my time and effort on that's not going to, A, help, and B, isn't going to go anywhere. It'll just be a big flop. Like, what's the point? So you have to be really flexible. There are certain things I won't compromise on. And there are certain things that I'm 100% happy to kind of go, okay, that doesn't work, we'll get rid of it, we'll try something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so we talked about it a little bit before, you know, with multi-coached, and first you want to concentrate just on OT Me. We'll see how that continues to grow and to evolve. OT Me continues on its path and its growth. Where do you see and how do you envision it evolving in the future?
I think I have answered it, but I'll kind of expand. So I really want it to impact positively for as many children and teenagers as possible. I think if WA Health or other private organisations are able to jump on board, license the product and actually utilise it, the reach would be much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously I can only do so much with marketing, advertising, you know, people, you know, Facebook advertising, Google ads. People need to be actively looking for it. Now, if you're in a wait system, say a public wait system, you might not be actively looking for something because you're on the wait list. So you're like, I'm just going to have to wait.
Yeah.
So the only way they're going to know about this product is either word of mouth, or the people that they're on the wait list for tells them about it and goes, I think this would be really beneficial for your child.
Mm.
So that's the OT Me part of it. Like, I think if I can get the health service on board and using it, it's going to be huge. In terms of the other side of multi-coach and CPD. I have courses that are ready to go. I've been written. I had a few issues with what platform, and I think I'm just going to put it on pause for a while. Like I said, I think I need to focus just on OTME. However, my long-term vision is I want it to be accessible and affordable for clinicians. Like, you're fresh out of uni, you don't have much money. You're still very student mindset, but you need to do 20 hours of CPD a year. So to keep your registration as an OT. Mm.
Yeah.
And other health professions as well that come under ARPRA, you have to have, I think it's like 20 or 30 hours, depending on what you're registered as.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to be affordable, because I want it to be really real, really applicable to where they're working as well. Using adult learning principles and instructional, like adult instructional principles as well, because adults learn very differently to teenagers and children. And you need to kind of, so that's how I've based, and that's what I eventually want it to be, is that actually clinicians will come to it because they want to do CPD and they want to be able to use OTME either in their own practice, as so they can use it as a prescription and patient engagement product, or they can then just recommend it while they're on the wait list waiting for them. And eventually I'd really like it to evolve to have gamification. So I think I touched on this before as well. I want potential to have specialised activities on there that are a bit more interactive and not just videos. And the one thing that won't happen to start with, but I think is really important, is to have some kind of like back-end tracker. So a parent can track what their child has been engaging with, how long, and potentially in real time, the clinician can also have access to that. They can see that, they've sent them off for 3 weeks. They can actually, they've been doing this 3 or 4 times a week, so it's real time, so it saves them time. And they go, I know you've been doing X, Y, and Z. How's it been?
Mm.
And they can actually make sure that they're engaging in therapy. So that's eventually what I'd really like.
Yeah, and, I really think you'll get there. Next episode, we're going to be touching on building a network. And, from our discussions already, there's quite a few people that you've met through your network that can absolutely sort of assist with bringing that vision to fruition.
Yes. It's things have happened really quickly. I've met some amazing people. Like I said last time, just their time is precious, and I'm just overwhelmingly thankful that they've given me their time. And without them, I wouldn't have got to here.
Yeah.
So the generosity of others just always blows me away, and I'm eternally grateful for it. But networking is a huge thing that I didn't quite realize how huge when it was like, make sure you network. So I kind of took that to heart, but I will talk about that
next episode. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And Steph, where can we find this podcast? Let's just tell our listeners now. So it's out on
Apple. I'm trying to get it on Spotify, but that's a bit more difficult. But it's on iHeart Podcasts. It's on Podbean, which anyone can download the app for free. So those are the three places at the moment. And once I figure out my tech expertise on podcasts, I'll see if I can get it on other ones too.
Well, thanks again, Steph. It's been fantastic as usual chatting with you. It's really important topic, obviously close to your heart, and definitely something that's important and
needed.
Absolutely.
Needed. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks again. And, if anybody's got any comments or feedback or has any questions for Steph, please get in touch. Steph, do you want to just reiterate?
Yeah, so my Instagram is @multicoached. My website is multicoached.net. Facebook is @multicoached. DM me, drop me an email, and I'll happily answer all the questions.
Fabulous. Okay, thanks.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening and giving us your time. A big thank you to our wonderful host, Caroline Lockery, for hosting The Secret Diary of a Startup. In the next episode, we'll delve deeper into my startup journey for OTME, where I discuss building a support system and the power of networking. Until then, have a great week, and this is just the beginning of an exciting, innovative adventure with OTME. Follow me on Instagram at multicoached and multicoached.net for updates and OT tricks and tips for parents and carers. See you next time.